we have all the school-age kids with us today. We have all-family worship today, so I'm glad Rock Climbers, what we call our children's ministry, I'm glad you guys are with us today. If you're just joining us, we're going through the book of Romans. So grab your Bibles if you have one. If you don't have one with you, there should be one in the pocket of one of the chairs in front of you. And so once you grab that Bible, turn to Romans chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 12 and go through 29. Let me just offer this prayer. Lord, we want your words. We want your guidance. We want this to hit us where we need it. We want you to speak to the hearts, Lord, and not our own agendas, not our own fears. We shut down doubt. We shut down fear. We shut down hunger. We shut down distraction. We shut down whatever this tired feeling is that's in here today, Lord. We ask you to push through that, Lord, and open our eyes and ears to hear from you through your word, Lord. Bless the children who are worshiping with us today, Lord. Let them hear as well as the most seasoned adult who's been in Bible studies for a long time, and all of us to be your family and be your kingdom. I pray this in your name and in your power, Jesus. Amen. So last week we took a break with Easter from Romans itself, but the week before that Paul was talking to the believers in Rome about being judgmental. And so, you know, sort of in way of summary, what the Lord's been doing with this scripture is, you see, Paul was writing to believers in Rome. And most people believe that he was writing this letter from Corinth. And what he was doing is he was sharing his revelation that he got from God to try to help these people who may not be living, you know, in the Jewish world, if you will. And so their gatherings would be made up of both Jews and Gentiles, right? People that had a foundation, knew about Abraham and Moses and Yahweh and the law, okay? And then you had other people who only knew the ways of whatever idol-worshipping, pagan type of faith, or maybe no faith at all, or some weird blend of the two that we saw in this world where you'd have, synagogue here and some sort of temple to some kind of god next door. And the worship could be interchangeable. So we're looking at this as a letter to us as well, because what I'm aware of is in our building, in our church family, we come from so many different backgrounds. You know, I know for a fact from talking to some of you, I mean, we have people with a faith background, Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or Catholic, even Mormon or a Pentecostal or Assemblies of God, and each one of us has our own religious practices and beliefs, and not to say that in a negative way, because I know this religion word we throw out there as a very negative thing, but I'm aware a lot of what we're doing this morning is purely religion, which I would define as man's like attempt to do things in order to build a relationship with God and get close to him, okay? So yeah, we're always doing that, but we come from a different background, so how powerful is it that Paul, the disciple, the apostle, sent to the Gentiles, could share this letter with us now, believing that the Holy Spirit can apply it and teach us through this. So here we go. Let's start with verse 12. Romans 2, verse 12. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Okay, let me stop there for a second, because we're getting into some church words. What's the word, what's the law? Any rock climbers, what do you guys think? What's the law when they say that, the law? Yeah. The rules, that's a very good answer, yeah, right? The law, what are the thoughts you guys have about the law? Anyone else? Any age? Torah? The Torah, the first five books? The law? The Ten Commandments? Right? The Mosaic Law? Right? The law. So when they're talking about the law, the hearers of the law, the one who heard these writings, who heard the rules, the Ten Commandments, the Torah, the law of the Mosaic Law and the additional laws that went with that, the ritual Okay, we on the same page with that? Well, a problem if you read most of the New Testament, especially in Jesus' life, did you kind of sense he was coming against this law? And one of his major points was, your guys' confidence is so much in the law and acting as the law commands, but you never look at your motives in your heart. Jesus was always saying things like, I'm glad that you behave well, I'm glad that you have morals, but what's really going on in your heart? So Paul's addressing this. Their confidence was in their law. Okay, well, the problem is, let's be honest though. Like, I'm not Jewish. I didn't grow up Jewish. I'm aware of it from my Christian background, a little bit of the law. I've read some stuff on it. You know, like you said, the Torah. I have, you know, the Torah. I've read through that. I'm aware of what Moses did, the Ten Commandments, these types of things. So what's the law in 2019? Help me with it. What do you guys think? What's the law in 2019? Church rules. Yeah. Yeah. Did you have an answer for me? Cool. That's a very good one. She said to not talk on the phone when you're driving, which is a law, right? Ordinance in our town. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. No texting, right? Yeah, no texting or playing on your phone. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love one another as I've loved you. And who said that? Jesus, right? Okay. Yeah. If you think of it again. Okay. Hey, that's a great law right there. No speaking over the pastor, right? Don't be talking back to pastor. Right? So, well, let me ask you this way. How have you been taught, right? This is not a smash fest on church. How have you been taught how to follow God? What are you supposed to do? Smitty, what'd you have? You obey his commandments, right? So the commandments are working. They're still at work, right? We're still working with commandments in mind in 2019. Yeah. Yeah, Greta? We'll see. She doesn't have a microphone, so we're good. Name in vain? Yeah, don't say God's name in vain. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. Live in the Word? Live in the Word. What's that mean? Follow what the Bible's teaching. So the Bible becomes really important to us, right? And that's not wrong. Yeah, Eleanor, did you have something else? Honor your mother and father. And this is good stuff. This is coming right from the Scripture. What, you got another pearl for me? Don't say bad words, right? Right. Don't say bad words. Like, all of these things are not wrong, right? You learn that in Sunday school. Here's the thing. You knew the answer was Jesus. And so we're not changing that, because the answer to my sermon today is Jesus again. So you want the gold star, then Jesus is the answer. But what I'm hearing here, and this is awesome because you guys are helping me and I didn't even, you know, put these, yeah. Wear shoes to church. She's on to me. No shoes, no shirt, no service. Like, you know what? Keep the shirt on, right? Yeah, we've disobeyed so many different rules. There are certain things, like on Sunday you come to church, right? You've got to wear your best, or you don't wear hats in church. None of these things are wrong. The problem, my friends, is this, is reading the Bible a bad thing? But are you aware, and maybe it's just my situation, a few people I've talked to, some of these rules have gotten in the way of our relationship. And they've become primary. Our confidence has come into these rules. Because if I have a heart which is dead set on hurting other people, whether I call you a pooty face or a bad word, my intention is still the same. Do you see that? Whether I don't do this sin because I think that's bad, but I do these five other sins, we're living in the law. And even though we don't have the Mosaic law, we become so confident in our awareness of what the Scripture says. We can get caught up in the information of the Scripture, And the more I know about it, the more I'm saved. Do you see that? It's really no different what they were doing and what we're doing. And even you, I mean, hey, I'm glad you're here Sunday morning. And I really believe at the core of me, one of the reasons why I do this and I do it in such a weird, quirky way is because I do believe we're still supposed to gather together. And I know from experience when I'm not in fellowship with believers what I'm missing. But I don't want you to come so that afterwards you can go back into the world and be happy because you religiously checked the box for this week. I got it. I got my God in. We're all good. So here's a great question for you, and I want this to sort of just stew in you. Where do you place your confidence in your salvation? Where is your salvation coming from? Okay. Another really powerful thing that he said here, it's the contrast between knowing the law, okay, and following the law. Okay, yeah, sure, Will. Well, here's where it gets tricky. Well, you just said right there, Will, that the law isn't your salvation. Yeah, it's not. And we're aware of what Jesus did for us. And so what I'm finding, guys, and I'm just speaking off of what God's shown me, what he's revealed to me, is there's a weird balance here. We're walking kind of a tightrope, if you will, because on one end, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm aware that, like, Jesus is saving me. It's not what I do. Okay? We all aware of that? Like, it's his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his power. It's not what I do that saves me. But then the Bible is full of all these rules and do this, don't do this, live this way, this is good and this is bad. And so then sometimes I find myself getting caught up on that. Well, if I just do the things that God told me to do, everything's going to be okay. And then there's the other, oh, but wait a second. It's by faith through his grace that I'm saved, not what I do of myself. And so we end up going one way or the other. We end up becoming really legalistic, and it's like, I don't know if this is a saved church because Will's not wearing shoes. Okay?
Yeah,
I'm wearing nothing right now. Full Fred Flintstone, okay? Or we say, oh, great, you know, his grace is so good, I could just live how I want. And the reality is, what it says here, for it's not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Well, this is confusing. So let me tell you this. Well, maybe Jesus did away with that. Well, John 14:23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. It sounds like Jesus was still in the business of you doing what he said, right? So what Jesus asked you to do matters. Because, yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah, man, Jesus, could you just tell me, like, what I could do? There's all these laws. Someone said this to Jesus. I'm going to give it to you in Will's words. Can you just tell me? There's so many laws. It's hard. I can just, it's hard to get them all right, Jesus. Could you just kind of tell me what I could do? And he's like, guys, listen. Hey, you want the Cliff's Notes on this? If you could love God with everything that you got, if you just love God with everything you got, and then the people around you, if you would love them like you love yourself, then all these rules, all the laws, you would meet those with that love. And they're like, yeah. Then we take our shoes off, right? Yeah, I just love you. Love you, Rick. Grace. Yeah, I just love you. It's good. We're good. But then Jesus says this, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. So if I'm loving God, then I got to do what he wants me to do. And if you don't, right? And now you guys, I'm starting to see your faces glaze over because it's getting confusing. Well, the problem is context in Scripture, okay? Part of the problem here is what he's trying to make a case is that you and I need a Savior. That's what Paul's trying to do. So Paul's trying to show you, if you want to be justified by your law, then you better keep all the laws if you want to be considered righteous. If you don't keep all the laws and you're dependent on laws, how's that going to work out for you? You're out of luck. Well, Let me give away a little bit of the ending. So Paul's going through all of this, and if I just give you this, you're going to go home thinking, man, I've got to do all the right things and obey all the laws. But then Will said the laws aren't the most important thing. So I'm really confused. You guys confused? Okay. You're getting half the story. So what Paul is saying is, hey, don't think, right, that if you're bragging about the law and then disobeying it, that you're not going to be judged by that law. God's wrath is coming for all of us. Do you get that? His wrath didn't stop. He's just created a provision through Jesus so that I won't have to experience his wrath, that Jesus took on his wrath for me. That's what Easter's all about. Okay? But let me give this away. Paul goes on in the next chapter. We're jumping ahead real quick. Romans 3, verse 9. It says like this. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we've already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together and have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And then Romans 3:20, he says this, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Why do we get the law? To know sin, to know that we would need a Savior. So you see this, he's like, he goes on to say, he's going to keep talking about the law. Romans 2, we're jumping back there, verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. Well, I don't know, you didn't write it down. I mean, do you see this? There's certain things just born in you that you just know, right? You take that cookie out of the cookie jar when mom told you not to, and you know you hurt your brother, you feel guilt, right? There's these things in you, you know. So for a Gentile who's living as the law dictates without ever reading the law is proving that the law is true, right? And this is a confusing scripture. 15, they show that the work of law, the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Do you see that judgment of the secrets of men by Christ Jesus is still coming? So what he's trying to say is, guys, if you take your law, okay, people of Prescott Valley, Dewey, Humboldt, Prescott, surrounding areas, Mayor, wherever you're coming from, Paulden, all these things that you learned at church, doing a devotion every day, tithing or teaching Sunday school or not saying the cuss words or, right, obeying your parents or not over-talking the pastor or, you know, always saying prayer right before you go to bed, all these things that you've learned to do, they won't save you. In any case, for the things that you do, the things that you have confidence in to save you, any day that you fail to do one of those things, you've just condemned yourself by that same law that you live. How's that? Right? Guys, I'm a pastor, a husband, a father, a brother, a friend, an uncle, a soccer coach. And most days it is exhausting trying to do all those things. And every given day, I fail at least one of those categories, probably most of them. You know? Ray's shaking his head. He knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes I'm a trash husband, man, or a father, a bad pastor, friend. And if being right and being good and always doing the right thing and always saying the right thing and pretending that God got a hold of me and now nothing bad ever happens, or I don't say anything bad or do anything bad, is a bunch of trash. It's a bunch of garbage. It's a lie. And if I pretend it is, then the minute I do something like that, then you're going to know that I'm condemned. And we can't treat each other like that. We've got to have forgiveness and grace. We have to love with the same measure that God's loving us to the best of our ability. And yes, we do what he says because we love him. But the minute we fail to do what he's asked us to do, it's not over for us. That's what Jesus did. He didn't make it so we don't try to be righteous or pure or to do the right thing or to love our neighbor. You guys should try that every day. You should try to be perfect every day. Do you get that? Like Jesus, be righteous because he's righteous. Be holy because he's holy. Be set apart, right? Because he's set apart. Do what Jesus said. Be Christ. Christ left, gave us the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we're his in his place. So I better try to act like him. And so this, well, because Jesus saved me, now I can just do whatever in the world I want, is not what the scripture is saying. But it's not the law either. It's not the rule keeping. It's not using the church cuss words instead of the regular ones. It's not only disobeying your parents where they can't find out. It's not only lying to the pastor so he thinks you are who you aren't. It's not giving more money than someone else and trying to make sure everyone knows it. It's not dressing a certain way or wearing shoes in church or not wearing a hat in church. Although some of these things can be very loving, they will not save you. It's not your money. It's not your status. It's not how awesome you pray. It's none of those things, because if it's any of those things, blow it one day and you're over. Ouch, no. That pressure will kill you. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you were instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others do not teach yourself. Whoa. I'll tell you, the only good thing about that scripture is I feel like most of the time you guys get less out of my sermons than I do. And according to this, I think that's right. I think that's why he gave me this job, so I would listen to myself. And maybe 20 years from now, some of you guys will have heard something too, more than just me learning from that. But I love this. And here's like your alert, right? Here's your alert. If you see yourself doing this, you better search your heart before the Lord, because what's happening is there's a religious spirit building up in you. If it says this, I separate it onto another slide so it's not as busy. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of mere children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. If you start acting that way or feeling that way, how do we say that, Brandy? You better check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? And, you know, sometimes I could see that in me, right? Do you ever think, if they could just see things like I see it, how come nobody else gets it but me? Like, I guess this is how it shows up in me. Sometimes I'm just frustrated. Like, come on, right? Like, what's the hold up here? What's? And that's sort of what Paul's been saying in Romans. He's like, man, if you're going to treat others this way, this is how you want God to treat you. Because I think about the dozens, hundreds of things probably that God is like, Will, you just don't get it. What is so hard about this? You know, is that what he's doing? Like, you're such a fool, Will. I mean, maybe someday you're going to get it. It's right in front of you, and you don't see it. And I know that God's not like that, because when Jesus was here, he did these weird things. Do you guys remember Lazarus? What's the Lazarus guy that was dead, and then Jesus brought him back to life? I always think about that. Like, he cried with the sisters, even though he's going to bring him back to life. Because, like, judgmental Will would have been like, dude, why are you crying? I'm going to bring, stop, no. Stop crying, I'm going to bring him back to life. Come on, let's go. No, he stopped, he wept with them in their silliness, basically. He had compassion for them. So even Will, in my boneheadedness, he's like, Will, I know you're hurting and you don't get it. And he's there, and he's like, they're there, right? That's what Jesus did when he was here. He didn't say, I'm an instructor to the foolish, and I'm speaking to mere children here who do not understand anything. And if you could begin to see like I see, that's not how he treated us. But how in religion sometimes we treat one another. Well, that's fine, Will, but what's the problem? See, the shortcoming of living this religious way or by the law is it provides no means by which you change. The problem with the law and the following the rules is every day you wake up just to follow more rules. It doesn't provide a process or a vehicle by which you would change and be transformed. When Paul talks about the transformation of your mind, the idea is that your heart would follow, not that you'd simply engage your intellect to learn more new things. See, because if you're rule following, two things that happen. Here's my practical experience, okay? Let's just say, Brandon, I'll pick on you, man, because we're brothers. Say, Brandon and I, we have a set of rules by which we live, right? And every day when you get up, he's like, how am I doing today, Lord? His only indicator is, how well have I followed these rules that God set out for me? And at the end of the day, when he goes to bed, he's like, okay, I did that, did that, did that, did that, did that. Great, now I'm exhausted. Goes to sleep, wakes up the next day. The first thing on his mind is, well, I got to do a devotional. That's right. Well, this one's short enough because it's busy. I hate mornings, but this one I can do. Check. Okay, check, 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 check. Every day after day after day after day after day. And he might actually have something cool to say at small group because he read in Deuteronomy with his devotional this week. And that's cool. But unless God does something and intercedes, his heart's not going to be transformed. What's happening on the inside of him, if he doesn't really submit to it, if he's simply focused on the rules, that's one side. And then the other problem is, let's say something happens, right? Because he has kids, and that means that anything can and will happen at points in time. And so even in your best attempt to be disciplined, certain things will happen. There's these things called strep throat, and yeah, right, and sick kids, upset kids, stitches, right, broken arms and legs. And when that happens and he's not able to do all his check marks for every day, you know what comes for him? The biggest enemy of any Christian, and that is guilt and shame. Because don't you know that we have an enemy, guys? And this enemy wants nothing more than to give you the message that you are failing big time. And if you keep getting that message that you are failing big time, you'll begin to stop even trying to do your check mark list. And those accusations, because who is Satan? The accuser of the brethren, right? He's accusing you. And if you give him a list and you fall short on that list at any point in time, you say a word that's not becoming of you, you have a thought that's not becoming of you, you lose your temper in a relationship, all of those things, now everything that he wants to accuse you with becomes true. And then what ends up happening is you spend 40 years in church and you're really miserable. And then you tell other people, come follow Jesus. This is the greatest thing ever. Just give 10% of your money every one of your Sundays, your Wednesday night. Your marriage will suck. Your kids will hate you. It's great. And then we read in the Bible, and Jesus is like, I've come to give you life. Right? And Jesus, our Lord, came after religion time and time again because we can get stuck in it. Is reading your Bible and doing a devotional bad? No way. That is awesome. You know the Holy Spirit, did he read it with you? Did he teach you anything about it? Did you stop and maybe you don't do 10 check marks because you need to dwell on what he's teaching you today? It's a very different life, and we're gonna automatically shift in towards that religiosity. So that's why this is a good reminder. I'm sure none of you have any religious spirit about you. And I don't either, right? Yeah. No, I know it. I see it in you. I see it in myself. Let's just call it out. I see how much you hate to try to be asked to change and how hard it is and how hard it is for me to change. We don't like this. Could I just have the list and don't ask me to be transformed? Give me something cool and interesting to think about. It makes me feel satisfied for today. And I'll just go on my way. But the shortcoming of living in the law is it will not transform you. And then it goes on to say, into verse 21 in Romans 2, because this happens, you're not being transformed. So you're saying these things, especially those who teach. It'd be very easy for me. I even heard from people in the congregation, you know what they've said to me, Will, why do you like pick on yourself? You should talk with one, like one with great authority. Right? I've seriously had people, and some of you are thinking, yes, you're right, you should. You shouldn't be so all over the place. Pretend like you know what you're talking. I don't know what I'm talking about. Living this Christian life is really hard for me. It's not easy. And I'm failing at it more days than I'm not, but I keep getting back up, and Jesus keeps acting me to do this. And a few of you I see were together on this when you look me in the eyes. And so he's warning, while you preach against stealing, do you steal? While you say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Like, you see, we're not being transformed, but we keep talking the great game. And so our witness to the whole world around us is that this God is garbage because he says these things and doesn't do what he really says. And the people who believe, and we see this in our world, right? Like the movie actors who are the greatest lovers on screen can't keep a wife, right? If you're a kid of a pastor or a counselor, you're probably the most messed up person in the entire world, even though they're helping all these other people, right? Teachers, kids acting out in school, right? Like doctors and nurses who are in worse shape than anyone that they're helping. I mean, do you see this? Because we are not having a relationship, which is what's transformed. We're having a mental exercise, which we grow our brain and we don't transform our behaviors. And this is not the way that God intended. And I'm picking on us, yeah, because we need this reminder to fight against this. Verse 25, Romans 2. For circumcision, you guys know what circumcision is? Okay. I won't go into gory details about it. But, you know, Corey, man, that is so awful. And the same thing happened to me that happened to my son, okay, one of my sons. We took him in. They wouldn't do it in the hospital. So because of insurance, right, we had to wait like a week, take him back, right, babe? Remember this? And then there was some sort of medieval death trap thing made for babies. And it was made out of like this hard plastic. And you see your little baby that you just brought home a week ago. They're finally getting used to the house. Your wife hasn't slept in 7 days, right? Your hair's falling out. And so you put your kid in this medieval death torture trap. And it has arms and legs spread like this. And you cinch them in completely naked, right? And then you just hear them screaming when they're doing the circumcision. And Corey, the craziest thing, man, happened to my sons. It happened to me. We were so traumatized by that event, we didn't talk for like a year. It's my favorite circumcision joke. You've all heard it before. You'll hear it again. Okay, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision, but break the law. See, even in that, there was this set-apart thing, which I think is hard for us. We don't want to be weird, you know. You want to wear shoes in church and like all these things, right? You don't want to be weird and be set apart, but that's kind of what the whole holy thing is. Like, there's something special and different about this. And so, you know, for the Jews, they were given this rite of circumcision. And at different generations, the knowledge of our medical practices, this is more or less healthy to do this. Maybe that's why they did it. I don't know. Anyway, the point here is a couple things that happen. There's a removal of flesh, and there's a setting apart of the people for God. And it's not about the surgical procedure as much as, and a lot of these men had to go through that, right? And they may not have talked for a day after that, I'm not sure. But they went through this, and so there was a pain, there was a price, they were marked for God. But even that, we people, we get so squirrely, right? That they began fighting about that. Well, you're not circumcised. And the people who came to the faith, well, yeah, Billy, you know, he's 24 now, but he was never circumcised. He wants to be a Christian. We need to circumcise him. And they're arguing about this stuff. We end up making the things that are not important the most important thing. Because why? We don't want to look at the important things that ask something from us. The religious spirit is, if you were just circumcised like me, I mean, come on, Jesus died for you. Can't you at least go through this? Well, is God asking Billy to go through that? And no one ever asked that question. Verse 28. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. That's kind of good news, right? Some of you guys, if you weren't circumcised, you don't have to be. The Spirit can circumcise your heart. It doesn't take a surgical procedure, although I bet you it'll be more painful and last longer. Huh. Circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. So here, a couple points of what Paul was talking about up to this point. So he said this, if you know the law, great, but you're still going to be judged by the law. You get that, right? And that's one of the things he was making. The second, so then for us believers, one of the things that's the law for us, everything you guys said is about the word. It's what God has revealed to us through his word. That becomes so important to us. That becomes our law. It's an interchangeable word. So I could say, guys, you know, just because you know the word of God doesn't mean that you're not going to be judged by the word of God. In every place, and just because Jesus came, that doesn't mean it automatically covers everyone's shortcoming and sin, right? It's a gift that you have to receive. He's a Savior that you have to accept, and you've got to believe you need a Savior before you accept one, right? So one could say that our religious spirit of our day would be confidence in knowing our word, knowing the Bible. Yeah. See, because those who followed God may not have been, I mean, I guarantee you at the time of the Jews, some of their leaders in their synagogues knew all the written word and the prophecies written down from God a lot better than like John and Peter, right? They probably knew it better. Even in this church, like there's a lot of people who come in here who know more about the Bible than like Ross or I, maybe. But like John, and they laid down their lives, everything that they had confidence in, and put their confidence in Jesus, you know? And I see that, you know, Ross, he like laid down a job and moved from Phoenix away from his family to come here and do music with us. And like that in my mind covers a lot more than you know a lot about the Bible. My family lays down a lot for me to do this, and it's hard on them. And that is like a lot more confidence in knowing more about the Bible. Our confidence has to be in our relationship with Christ. It's not knowing the word that's the most important thing, but doing the word that is important. And so I don't think we can skip over that. You guys, whatever you know in the word, you should do what you know in the word. Like, because Jesus came, that doesn't change. You should still try to do what God's asking you to do. Now, the cool thing, because Jesus came, it's more than the written word. As a matter of fact, all the things that say the word in the scripture, for the most part, those are talking about spoken word. Because the written word we have was actually spoken to men. And so you and I, when we do a devotional, that's great that we're in the word. But do we even pray that God could speak to us through that word above and beyond the written word there? For application, for further teaching, can the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, speak to you? He can. That's the normal Christian life. And if he's not, then that's what we need to be praying about, because I want you to read your Bible. I don't want you to say, well, Wilson, I don't have to read my Bible. No, you actually should. It's the best thing. But why you read it is because you love him so much. You want to know what he says. And that's still one of the best ways for you to come before God with your Bible open, reading the word, and letting him speak to you through it. Does that make sense? So we keep his law, we read his word, not because his law and word save us, but because he saved us, and we love him so much, we want to be closer to him. So it's not knowing the word that's important. It's doing what the word says that's more important. See, knowing about God and knowing about what is right, behaving morally will not change us on the inside. As followers of Christ, the scripture tells us to be aware of the condition of the heart. The heart here is like the inner man, right? The inner part of you. As those who are believers, we're constantly asking God, you read in the scripture, like, okay, reveal to me, God, what's going on in the places that I can't see. Why am I acting this way? It's great that you don't act out this way, but what's going on in your heart? That's what Jesus was concerned about. So we should seek a changing or transforming of our heart. So back to Brandon, when he wakes up in the morning, what he should be thinking, not about the list, but like, man, Lord, how are you working in my life? How are you transforming me from the inside out? And what is it I have to do today to help facilitate that? Maybe it is a devotional. Yeah, right? Maybe it is going to church. Maybe it is serving. Maybe it is killing the weeds outside the church. Hey, you know, I don't know. It could be any of those things. Your deeds aren't as important as the why you do or don't do those deeds. And this pruning, this cutting off what's unnecessary, this marking your heart is the circumcision of the heart. You being set, male or female, you being set apart for Jesus. That's the goal. Only the Holy Spirit can purify the heart and set us apart to God. Well, Will, you're making us feel really good with coming down on us. Yeah, you're welcome. So it's such a good reminder. We're here in Romans and we're listening to Paul. And I imagine he was writing this letter to these believers. And like us, right, they had a lot of different backgrounds. And it's such a good and powerful reminder for us of how much, you guys see how much that religiosity, that religious spirit can creep in? And it's difficult because what he uses is, what can be used against us can be really good things. Because it sort of feels like I was picking on faithfulness, right? It's picking on faithfulness. Because, well, yeah, I go to church every Sunday and I read my Bible every day and I give. And those are all really great, but I think there's another question I'd have to ask you. In all of that, do you feel like the Lord has transformed you? Has he transformed your heart? I think that's the reminder. That's why I'm excited to go through Romans, guys, because I want the Lord to always be tearing apart the wrong beliefs I have and rebuilding new ones. And so it's funny. I mean, I didn't even wear shoes today because I felt like God said not to do it when I was praying. And now half of you think I'm crazy, which is cool. That makes me set apart. He's crazy. He's set apart. But now I know why, because some of you were so distracted by the fact that I wasn't wearing shoes, you know? And I think it speaks to those social norms that we have. Those norms inside the church that we have. And you know, what happens when those are challenged? Now clearly, okay, Will's up there. He's spouting all sorts of filth and saying bad things about God. That's not okay. That's not acceptable, okay? I get that. That is clearly not okay. But I want us to be a spirit-led people and not like the religion of the spirit-led. It's like the church spirit-led. I don't even know what that means, okay? But I want us to grow a deeper relationship. And the only way that we do that is even the cool things that come across our mind that engage our intellect, we can't stop there. Even though our mind can be transformed, it's supposed to work its way into our heart. And so as a people, if we can see these scriptures, it's such a good reminder. You need to ask yourself when you go home this week, like, am I doing that sometimes? Like, since I'm the one who simply, well, we make ourselves feel better by picking other people apart. You can't do that. You can't say that. I know truth. Let me teach you what is true. Like, that should be a caution to you about the condition of your heart. And how is this done? Will, can you give me like this five-step formula? I just can't. What I want to do to end this time together here is really pray, because there's the Holy Spirit that I want to know more. I want to grow in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And I know, see, now everyone's bringing their presuppositions in. Like, that means this, that means this, that means this, that means this. No, I want it to mean what it means. I want to come before the Lord because I want to know the condition of my heart. I want to be so obedient to God because I love him, not so that he'll love me. That when he says, take your shoes off, I'll be like, sure. I don't even know why, but sure. I want to be so obedient that I can be sensitive to where the Spirit is moving around me. And only then can I be any kind of father, husband, pastor, friend, cousin, nephew, brother, right? In those moments. And today, I'm probably not going to be the best at all of those, but if I can be faithful, and if you can be faithful to what God's asking you to do this day, then when you go to bed tonight, you'll praise him because you know him and he knows you. And on that day when it's all said and done, you won't be those people like it warned about in the scriptures. Jesus, it's me. Yeah, remember? Church every day, man. Rock the Bible like 17 times cover to cover. I used to give 15% at church. I was so faithful. And he's going to be like, I don't know you. You never asked me what you wanted me to do. You didn't know why. You didn't care why. You just tried to follow rules, and you never had a relationship with me. And so I know a pastor shouldn't do that, right? They should have the answers. But Corey, I don't even know what it looks like for you, man. Emily, I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know that this religiosity creeps in. Or it's in the way of you connecting because other people are doing that to you. And so I want to pray, and I just want the Lord to speak, and I want him to work in your hearts. Lord, I humble myself before you, Lord, and I'm not the know-it-all Bible answer guy, and I don't have a perfect plan because, man, I would say probably tomorrow I might blow it, today I might blow it, yesterday I might blow it, but you don't blow it, Lord. You are a faithful, all-powerful, all-knowing God and an intimate, personal God. And so, Lord, I thank you for your work. I thank you for your authority. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you don't give up on me, that you don't give up on any of us, and that you took on that cross all the bad things that I've done, all the ways that I've been selfish, all the ways that I've been impatient, all the ways that I have known what you wanted me to do and done something different anyway because I didn't trust you. I don't believe you at times that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And it's just true and it's awful, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me for that. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would help us to grow in intimacy with you. And Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us, that you would fill us and keep filling us, because this life takes you. It's going to take your power, Holy Spirit. It's going to take your guidance. It's going to take your courage and your bravery and your comfort on the days that are hurt. And so, Lord, search us, know our hearts. Take us out of our religious practices and lead us what you want us to do. Maybe we sing a song. Maybe we pray. Maybe we sleep. Maybe we take a walk. Maybe we do a devotional. Maybe we love somebody. Maybe we give. Maybe we share. Maybe we dance. Maybe we laugh. Maybe we just do whatever it is that you ask us to do, God, and quit with the canned religiosity. And I praise you for knowledge. And every time we know about the universe and the symbolism of the rituals of the Jews, and every time we read about the human eye or the birth of babies and all the things that create awe, at the end of that, could we not say, dang, we're smarter now, but now we can hit our knees and say, Lord, you are so powerful and so mighty and so great. So come for your people, save us again from ourselves. Save us from our religious spirit. Save us from our fear. Yes, Lord. So we give you this time as we're going to be praying and singing. And we just invite you in. There's this gift that's you. And some of us haven't even grabbed onto it. We haven't grabbed onto this life that you offer. We haven't grabbed onto your love or your freedom. And we've just left it there. And so I pray as we pray, maybe if there's somebody here who hasn't, who's just been resisting that, that they would just lay down their guards and say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive you. I receive your life. I receive your love. I receive your lordship. I receive it. Yeah, and then maybe that you give them the courage to tell somebody. Maybe me, maybe somebody they know. That we could pray with them. That we could ask you to strengthen them and guide them. So we give this time to you to do your work. In Jesus' name.